Thank you for the moisture that you've given us, Lord. And just we pray that everybody's safe out there on the roads. It is icy, Lord. And we just safe travel for everybody to and from church. If they're still coming, you know, that's fine. You're just running a little late. But if they're not, just traveling mercies going home and traveling mercies wherever they're at, whether they be in the valley or not, and traveling mercies for me and her family as they go down to the valley. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace and your love that you show us every day. We pray that your words be spoken here today, not mine, but yours, Lord. And we pray that we may get something out of it and we could apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last we were in Revelations. We've just finished up chapter 1 in Revelations. And there we found out that the 7 golden lampstands that Jesus was in the middle of, those 7 golden lampstands, they represent 7 churches in Asia, right? And then there are 7 stars in his right hand. Do you remember what those represented? Those represented the angels, guardians, or messengers to each of these churches. So, and he says angels of these churches. And then Jesus tells John to write to each of these churches. And that's where we're at. So we're seeing what Jesus wants to tell each one of these churches. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Mia?
The angel of the church of
Ephesus. So do I. Of course, I could see that. I'm a little bitter, I guess. You could see that. You read it just fine.
This side is bad. This one I can see fine.
Now, the first church we come to is the Church of Ephesus. And then the writer lets you know who is actually writing this letter. John might be pinning it. He might be writing down words, but we find out who actually is writing this letter to them. And it's the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and the one who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. Which is who? Who's writing this letter? We just talked about it. Right before you read.
I don't remember.
Jesus. Oh. Jesus is the one holding the stars, right?
I think I have
to remember. Jesus is holding the stars. He's the one walking in the midst of them. So it's Jesus who's writing this letter. And the writer wants to let him know for sure that Jesus is the one who's saying this. Jesus knows about these churches, right? He's in the midst of them, meaning that he's in the middle of them. He's involved. He gets to know people. He's involved with his children, is what it is. And he has a direct contact, and he has an angel at each of these 7 churches. Now, the Church of Ephesus may sound familiar to you. Does it a little bit?
No.
No? Not even just a little bit. There's actually a book in the Bible. It's Ephesus, Ephesians. Ephesians are the people from Ephesus. Ephesus is the name of the city, and then Ephesians would be the people, what they'd be referred as. Like we're Americans, we're from America. So Paul started the church in Ephesians. And there was a period of time that he was there preaching at the church for 3 years, over 3 years. Aquilus and Priscilla, the rhyming couple, is their names rhyme, but they worked and they served at the church in Ephesus. Apollo, Timothy, and John even served there, ministered there. Timothy actually ran the church after Paul did.
And his brother.
Right? That's how old they are. Even though the church there was very famous in Christian circles because it had knew a lot of people. Ephesus was a big, busy, and wealthy city. And it had a lot of people coming and going. And the reason for that is because they had trade routes from the east to the west, and they had to go through these cities in Asia, and it was the more popular trade route to go through Ephesus. And what that would do is that would bring in a whole bunch of different kinds of religions from everywhere. All across the world, people would be there meeting, doing business. And there they had perhaps the biggest temple of one of the false gods there. It was in the ancient world. Have you ever heard of the seven wonders of the world? Ever heard of that term? There's Grand Canyon's the seven wonder of the world. But there's an ancient world, seven wonders of the world. And it would have been one of those because it was massive. But at that place, they did a lot of immoral practices. And then there's another huge temple, what was there, where they'd store a whole huge amount of money. It was kind of like the bank, but people would store their money there. You know, the devil had a foothold in the city because there was a lot of distractions. There was a lot of evil going around. But at the same time, that city, there was a lot of people what really needed to hear the truth. In Revelation chapter 2 through 3, Michelle, 2 through 3, the second one. Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah, we're not here. Fine.
Short memory. Yeah. Oh, did I?
Yeah. Okay.
My fault.
I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary.
So all good things, right? They did good works. They labored, meaning they weren't lazy about their good works. They had patience. Now, patience is a hard one. You may not know this, but when the internet first started up, buffering would take a minute or more if you had a strong signal. I mean, you ever hear the joke, beep? Huh?
I would have muted my phone. If mine doesn't load in less than 30 seconds, I'd retry.
And then you're retrying it.
I'd be asking my friend out. And I'm impatient because I have to wait like a week before Valentine. We want it to happen already.
Right? Their patience is very hard, but they had patience.
How?
How? I don't know. They're that good. They weren't fooled by false teachers, and they did not grow weary, meaning that they did not quit. They didn't get tired. Good works. There's another one we hit. Acts 20, 20 through 31. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourself, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So this is Paul talking to the Ephesian church, the Ephesus church. He's warning them about false teachers, right? And it definitely seems like that sunk in to the church, where they really took that serious. Now, this would be a few years after that, but it sounds like the Ephesus church would be getting an A, right? An A on the report card. They're doing everything. Sounds like they're doing great, doesn't it? Have you heard the term calm before the storm? No? What do you think that would mean? That everything's great until something bad happens? Yeah, sure. So the next sentence we're going to read, or what you're going to read, is nevertheless. And that's probably not what, if you were an Ephesian, you'd really want to hear. You know, oh, I'm doing good. Nevertheless. And we'll pick that up in Revelation chapter 2, 4 through 5. Can you read it? So they left their first love. You know, they weren't acting the same as when they first, you know, started going to church, when they first started getting saved. They're acting different. And the difference was in their heart. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Michelle. So it says, all these are great, right? These are all great attributes to have faith and hope. But the greatest is love.
There's literally people I don't love, though. Like, I don't care for them
at all. At all. You don't even care for them a little bit? You don't care if they're safe or fine?
No, there are some people I would quite literally strangle. And I wouldn't have anything to
go through
that.
Well, you might say that, but I know you. You'd probably have, there would be regrets.
No.
You'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
No, I would have.
You would have.
Not like kids.
And we're not talking about like you're a perfect stranger or somebody you don't care for. You know, oh, you could come stay at my house and you could eat my food. You definitely, we're not going, it's about caring and hoping that they get saved, that they get to know Jesus. Can we at least do that? Maybe think that maybe they'd be better off if they knew Jesus?
Yeah, I don't want them to go to heaven.
You don't want to see them forever?
Nope.
No. but they'd be changed, right? They'd be changed.
I still wouldn't like them.
You say that now, but if they change for the better. Forgiveness.
There's... I can't forgive those people. I don't know the names of them, but.
I know that there's times, but we are human, and certain things are hard to forgive. But this paints this picture of the Ephesian church, that they were doing good works not out of love, right? They were perhaps doing good works out of a habit, maybe tradition, or maybe they were just trying to work their way to heaven. So And I feel like a lot of times people fall into this thing as far as a habit. They were just doing it just because that's what you do, right? Now, and there is a fine line between being cautious over false teachers or simply not trusting and judging people harshly or judging everybody harshly. Well, and so the Bible warns. It doesn't warn because we are to determine if people are good or bad. We're supposed to judge, but we're not supposed to judge them harshly, because how we judge people will come back on us, because then God will judge us with that same measure. So if we judge harshly, he's don't judge us harshly. But those people, it's always them. It paints this picture that the people in Ephesus, they judge people harshly. They judge people in their congregation. They were rightly so as far as these false teachers, but maybe they judged them a little bit too harsh. They needed to stop and think why they were doing what they were doing. You know, on paper, they were doing everything right, but their heart wasn't in it. And to God, that is huge. God knows what's in our heart. You know, he doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And this is very serious. This is a very serious matter, because he said if they don't repent, meaning if they don't change their ways, and that's what repent means, is changing the direction that you're going, Jesus was going to remove their lampstand, meaning that they wouldn't be in the middle of them. He wouldn't be there. He'd be exiling them from his presence. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. But this we have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Also, which I also hate. So Jesus still loves them. You know, he said nevertheless, but he still loves them with all of his heart. He still loves them. He wants to remind them that they're doing good. They just need to tweak a couple things. They did good things, and they hated the things they needed to hate. The Nicolaitans, you know, they're not still a group that exists today, at least with that name. So, and we don't know a lot of detail on what they practice. What we do know is that Jesus hated their actions. And that's not good, right? That doesn't bode well for them. And that's probably why they're not really around. We know that they had to be teaching something different than God's word. You know, most scholars feel like they were teaching that you could overindulge in immoral things and still be saved. That you could do these sinful things and God would be fine with it. You know, what's in our heart will typically come out in our actions. You know, it may not be at the very first thing, but given time, what's in our heart will come out. Right, especially when you're mad. Right, there's... Really? Well, in text is hard because you don't get the... how it was being said sometimes.
We put it in all caps letters with a bunch of exclamation points.
So, yeah.
We were yelling at each other. And then when we hung out the next time, we were laughing about it.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. You know, sometimes anger comes out, and it's nice to have friends what could look past those angry moments, right? Those are good friends. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Mia?
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Okay. Have you ever noticed things out in the world, what they kind of make sense until you look at them from a point of view, right? There are those things. And when Jesus says, he who has an ear, let them hear. Jesus is not excluding people that don't have ears. You know, he's not saying, oh, well, you can't listen to this. Right. He's not saying, oh, well, the deaf people, they can't, I don't want them in heaven. He's not saying that at all, because he loves everybody the same. It's a matter of the heart. Because we need to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because there's a difference between hearing words and actually listening to those words. Oh, and sometimes like when people are giving you instructions or teachers or our parents, and then it's like, okay, what'd they say? I was just nodding my head.
I do that. Sometimes
out
piano, I'll be like,
what? But if you could listen to the Holy Spirit, if you could obey to listen to the Holy Spirit, it says the overcomer in this case is we're talking about somebody what's not walking in love. So somebody what overcomes that would be somebody who's walking in love, right? They overcame the challenges, what they were going through. They repented. They changed their ways. They're walking in love now. Jesus promised them that they will make it to heaven. They will go to paradise. Right? And he goes further, is that he'll even allow them to eat from the tree of life. You know, something what was forbidden from Adam and Eve, because it goes into a big thing as far as, because there's a lot there. Because when that first sin happened, death entered the world. So, and then we became this fallen. We've fallen from grace of paradise. But once we get back there, it's that's part. We're already through. We already had to die once. In the Bible, it will say die twice, because we die to self, and then we die again. And so the death, we're already going to be dead, so we're allowed to eat from the tree of life. But the main point is that if we overcome, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's that we will make it to heaven. In Ephesians, which is a letter from Paul to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Michelle?
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
So the people of the church of Ephesus, or the Ephesians, were not abnormal. You know, they were just like everybody else. You know, Jesus would not have brought up this problem if it wasn't a common problem. Meaning it happens. It happens all the time. throughout churches today. And that's what this is so applicable to these books, is that it still happens today. People go through the same struggles. And this is why when we read this, we need to be careful. We need to be listen to the warnings that we don't fall in the same traps. These are times where in life it's good to stop and just think about what we're doing and the reason why we're doing it. You know, and maybe just tweak the things that are wrong, right? Maybe just change our ways.
Crash out when things are bad. It'd be a valid crash out.
Sure. Just following the law or following traditions does not work. You know, we cannot get saved by good works. It's only by grace and the love of God. We need Jesus. We need His love in our hearts. Mia, do you want to close this in prayer? Okay. Hun?